A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic present Right on the Money, the $1,000 Challenge.
Oh, we're just a few minutes away from our $1,000 giveaway. As always, our special thanks to Zions Bank. Zions Bank, we haven't forgotten who keeps us in business.
Yeah, allowances just aren't what they used to be, Deb. The New York Times reporting on a new survey that found the amount of allowance parents are giving to kids has grown the past couple of years, averaging, are you ready? Do not drive off the road when you hear this number. Averaging, this is per week, $30. Are you kidding me? I got a big fat zero, but I got it every week. My parents made sure that I got nothing every single week as far as an allowance goes. Deb, what did you get?
I got a quarter a week.
Stop it. A quarter?
25 cents a week.
That's an insult. That is a passive-aggressive move by your pops to say, you know what? Ha! How do you feel about that?
I would clean the whole house. My sister and I would split the chores. Mom had chore lists for both of us. Sometimes we'd trade chore lists. Sometimes we'd negotiate. We'd usually end up fighting about it with my, you know, between my sister and I. So we kept the house like a museum. We dusted, we mopped, we vacuumed the floors and the sofas, and we would always vacuum above the draperies and wash the sheets. Yes, it was a little bit like Cinderella, a quarter a week. And eventually,
wash the dishes, do the laundry.
Eventually, we got raises. I got a raise, 50 cents a week.
Oh, Debbie. Okay,
all
those things you just said, the dusting, the mopping, the vacuuming, the cleaning the bathrooms, I did that as well. But I did it for free.
I got a buck a month. Wow.
Don't spend it all in one place.
So here's what the New York Times is reporting. Two-thirds of parents give their child an allowance. Two-thirds. That's what, 66%? $30. That's up from 17 bucks a week in 2016. Wow. This is costing parents quite a bit. I mean, inflation is really doing our kids a lot of good.
They
got
love it.
$13 a week in just the last 3 years. That's incredible.
Dad, isn't inflation the best? I think we're missing something in our finance classes.
So the deal is, this is the deal, the secret to the allowance, paying allowance. No handouts.
I was hoping you can give me an allowance.
I know it sounded like an innocent enough question, but here's what he heard.
Since you work like a slave all day and don't have any time to enjoy your own money, can I have it?
I'm not giving you money for walking around doing nothing. An allowance? I allow you to sleep here at night.
That's from Everybody Hates Chris, and I love that clip.
That was great.
4 in 5 parents who give an allowance said they expect their kids to work for the money.
I thought it was going to be 4 in 5 parents that give an allowance regret giving their child an allowance.
They expect their kids to be spending at least 5 hours a week on household chores.
Oh, please. Oh, please. You're telling me that that quote-unquote allowance, you're requiring your child to do 1 hour of chores a day? Come on. Nobody believes that.
Children whose allowance is based on their completion of chores earn an average of about $6 an hour.
Oh, man.
That's an increase of almost 40% from over the last 3 years. I want that job. I want to go back to being a kid.
Am I crazy here? Do you think any child is doing an hour of chores a day? I mean, let's just do an informal poll here, folks. Gustavo, give me a little head nod if you were doing an hour of chores a day. No way. No way. Debbie, no way you were. No way I am. You can't get a kid to do anything for an hour a day unless it is one of two things. Boom. YouTube or video game.
When I was a kid, the chore list my sister and I were given by my parents, we hit it on a Saturday morning, and it was, no kidding, Dave, I think we wrapped it up about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a long day for us. We gave our hour a day. We just did it all on Saturday mornings. Then we had to make our bed, too. We could not leave the house for school without making the bed. And that was wrapped into my mom's weekly payment to me of a quarter a week. I've never required my kids to make their beds. You require your kids to make the beds. And I think that's because I was traumatized having to make my bed before school.
Well, first of all, I've just lost that war. It's not even a battle. It's a war. I signed the treaty. I waved the white flag.
You gave it up.
The only thing that I can do is try to keep the smell from permeating into the hallway.
Did I ever tell you I actually went to a therapy session over that?
Oh, really?
I did. I paid it there because it was a war.
Yeah.
And I was losing the battle, and I wasn't going to lose. And you know what she said? I got a tip for you, Deb. Close their doors.
Yes.
Close their doors. Walk away. Give up the battle.
Yes.
I really did not require my kids to make their beds, but when I did, they never listened. And that was, I thought, you know, I had to make my bed every single day. So we're reviewing a survey about parents and paying allowance, and how much do you pay? Most children who were paid allowance, and it's an average of $30 a week, most children who were paid allowance spent the money, according to the survey, on things like, oh, going out with friends, their digital devices, toys. That sounds like an allowance fail.
Now my spending allowance per month is $1,000. I feel like a peasant. I can't live like this anymore. I'm always out of money. If you ask me, I think my mom should be giving me at least $2,500 a month just to cover my basic expenses. I need money to buy clothes. I need money to buy shoes.
That was from a Dr. Phil episode. She's way over the top, right?
I don't typically hate kids, but I hate this kid. This one I hate. No question. I'm not even going to be apologetic about it. I hate that child. That child is the worst. And she's going to end up being a serial killer. I'm just saying.
Is wow.
That's what happens.
Okay, wait, there's more. We're going back to that survey now. The story we read about paying allowance to your kids. The average age of a child receiving allowance is 14. 4% of parents in that survey said they gave allowance to their children or a child who was 25 to 20, about 25 years old.
Now, that's probably when they need it.
Parents were still paying allowance when their kid was 25 years old. Now, not a lot of parents in that survey, just 4%. But
at what point, Debbie, and I'm being serious here, can you start asking your kids for an allowance? You're in your later years. You're on a fixed income. Can you ask them?
No.
Be like, hey, how about a little something, you know, for the effort?
I save money every paycheck, Dave, so I don't have to put that back on my kids.
No. We can't. So we're just, there are money pits. You're telling me they're just money pits. We can't get anything out of them.
No. They'll go through the same thing, too, one day with their kids. That is my hope. That is my prayer.
Oh, wait. No.
There we go.
Too early.
I got it.
It's time. The $1,000 challenge.
Here it is. Question. Before we give away the $1,000, you got to get this question right. $1,000 savings account from Zions Bank. Before Deb got a raise, what did her parents give her for a weekly allowance? Call 801-575-TALK. What did Debbie get from her parents as a weekly allowance? We'll take the fifth caller. 801-575-TALK.
Next, Zions Bank's Don Milne in the studio with us live to give us his take on how much we should be paying our kids for their allowance, if at all, and how we should gently guide our kids on spending money. Plus, we'll announce the winner of this week's $1,000 challenge.
You're right on the money with Dave and Dujanovic.
Dave and Dujanovic present Right on the Money, the $1,000 challenge.
And we have a winner. Congratulations, Heidi from Riverton. You just won yourself $1,000.
Yeah, $1,000 savings account. Big thanks to Zions Bank. Zions Bank, we haven't forgotten who keeps us in business.
In the last segment, we spent 9 minutes hashing through the idea of paying your kids allowance. $30 a week, according to a national survey, is the average of what parents are paying their kids allowance. Dave pays his kids Zippo. And I just could never really get into that. I think it's because I felt ripped off by my parents, 25 cents a week.
Yeah.
But with my kids, I could never keep track. I think they just drained me financially anyway.
They did it without you knowing. It would have been a deal if you had done $30 a week.
They just took all the money out of mom's wallet whenever they wanted to. And so I never really had a chore chart or anything like that. Anytime we tried it, I forgot about it within a day.
Well, it becomes another thing that you have to track, right? Your life is busy enough, so it's difficult. Don Milne with Zions Bank, thank you so much for joining us. You've been on the show several times with great insight. Do you have any great insight when it comes to allowance?
Probably my biggest insight is there's not really a good reason to pay your kids an allowance. Instead, you should pay them a commission.
Oh.
So you pay them if they work, and if they don't work, then you don't pay them. So they kind of learn what real life is like. If you don't work at your job, you're not going to get paid. If you do, then you get paid. So they'll usually, if they want to have some money, will realize, gosh, if I work, I get paid by mom and dad. If I decide I don't want to do my chores, then I guess what I wanted to spend that money on, I'm not going to be able to because I didn't make money because I didn't do the chore.
This is a delicate balance, and this is what I've kind of struggled with myself, because we haven't paid an allowance in our family. But what is a reasonable expectation for a child where you say, listen, I let you live in your house. I let you have your room. You have to contribute to the family. What should be, like, you're just contributing to the family, and what is allowance worthy?
Well, first of all, I think the $30 a week is too high. I think the reason that number got there is because it's an average, not a median.
Yeah.
A median would be maybe probably more like $10 to $15 is my guess, but mm-hmm. You have higher income families that responded to the survey that are able to, because of their situation, to pay a lot more, and that gets reflected in the average. So
right. Probably
$10 to $15 is probably more realistic, but it also depends on your age. You're not going to pay a four-year-old the same as you're going to pay a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
But you really should do something for your teens, at least, to get them to make good choices on how to spend money. If they don't have any money to spend, then when they become in their 20s, because they haven't practiced making bad choices, they're going to make bad choices with real money instead of just commission money. So you should pay them something, but make it an incentive thing. So what we did in our household when we switched over to this system is we divided our house into zones, and we gave our kids a zone. So one kid had the living room, one kid had the kitchen, one kid had the bathroom, and they had to keep that room clean each day to mom's standards, and every 2 weeks they would get paid. And if they missed half the days, then too bad, they're only going to earn half as much as their siblings are.
Don Milne is with Zions Bank. Of course, Zions Bank is a sponsor of our $1,000 challenge, where we give away $1,000 every week at this time. This morning, we gave away $1,000 to Heidi from Riverton, as we all build towards our emergency fund of $1,000 by the end of the year. Don, so here's where I think I did wrong by my kids. Another parent fail is that I would kind of start the process of the chore chart and paying an allowance. And then I think it was a lot of disappointment for them, because mom would never pay up.
Yeah.
That's probably not how to parent when it comes to allowance, I'm going to guess. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. I failed.
Well, if the kids know that they're going to earn the money, they're going to be more proactive about, hey, it's that Sunday night or whatever day of the week or every other week that you do it. I want to get paid, because once they've gotten this habit, they put in the work, they're going to be more responsible to do that. So if you're in a cash system, it is a little bit more work. You have to have we have this old purse that we would have filled with money, and we would use that to pay them out. But nowadays, like if you bank at Zions, we have something called an on card. It's like a prepaid debit card, and you can just transfer money to your kid from your account to their on card. And as long as they're 13 years old, it works just like a Visa card anywhere they want to use it. So I just have one teen left at my house. So when I pay her commissions, I put 40% of what she earns on her on card, and she can spend on whatever she wants. Another 40% goes into her savings account. That's for more long-term things. And then I give her 20% cash. She gets to use that for giving. She can't spend that on herself. So that's her budget. So we recommend that just like adults should be on a budget, kids should be too. But it's a lot simpler. It's the three S's. your spending, your saving, and your sharing. So we want to let them do the spending with whatever they want, within reason. I mean, we don't obviously want them to go out and get tattoos at age 14, but let them make the choices. If my teen wants to use her on card to go to the store and buy junk food, she gets to buy junk food. That's her choice. That's her spending money. She earned it. She can do with it what she wants.
That has been something that I've absolutely loved, because when it starts off, my kids, we don't do allowance, but I have a little family business that they work in, and they can earn money that way. But the money they start spending, because we split it up just like you said, and at first they've spent it on the craziest stuff. They cannot spend it fast enough,
right?
Because as soon as it's in their pocket, they're buying everything. But then they start tying and learning that, oh, this pizza that cost me $10, or when I went to McDonald's for the third time this week, that is 3 hours of right. work. And they start tying it together, mm-hmm. and then they start hoarding their disposable income. And then my heart just grows and my chest puffs out, because I'm like, they've learned it.
Right.
They've learned it. But it was very difficult early on to let them just spend it on the stupid stuff I knew that mm-hmm. they didn't like.
Yeah. But like this 40-40-20 deal, it's not like the survey showed where kids are spending all of their money that they're making.
Right.
You're putting them into this budget so that they're limited on how much they can spend. And as adults, how many of us would just love to have 40% of our money that we can spend on whatever we want?
I don't even remember what that's like.
I think that'd be great. So, but for kids, that's reasonable. We're covering a lot of their other expenses. That 40% should be plenty to get them by and have some fun.
That was going
to
be my next question, Don, is what expenses do you still have to cover as a parent? Because as kids get older in the high school, their dances become a lot of money, and they've got to buy tickets for those, and then they want to buy maybe a new pair of shoes, and you haven't budgeted for that, and you've just bought them a new pair of shoes.
Right.
So
new
what's still on us and what's still on them?
One option that some parents do is they know how much they spend on different categories for their kids. So say on their clothing, they spend $500 a year on their clothing. One idea is you just say, I'm going to give you your clothing money so much per month, and it's for clothing. So if you spend it on something else, then guess what? You may be wearing shoes with holes in them because you didn't spend it on the right thing. Or if you buy super fancy designer clothes, you're going to have to wear those super fancy designer clothes every day because you chose not to do other things. So for things that we have to buy for them anyway, why not let the kids participate in some of the spending choices?
Don Milne from Zions Bank. Tell our friends at Zions, we thank them so much, not only for your advice, but also for helping our listeners get to their $1,000 emergency fund. And we'll see you soon again, my friend. Okay, right next, we're talking about Utah and a brand new survey that ranks us 25th out of 50 for the best average salary. But there is bad news with that as well. Let's talk about the good news and the bad news next.
Right on the Money with Dave and Dujanovic.
Dave and Dujanovic present Right on the Money, the $1,000 Challenge.
There's a new survey out. It ranks Utah 25th out of 50 states for the best average salary. Dave, according to the survey done by business.org, Utahns make an average of $36,790 a year.
Seems a little low.
It would take 57.5 hours a week to afford a one-bedroom apartment in Utah, according to that report. So you'd have to work 57.5 hours a week at that $36,790 a year salary.
So about a week and a half of your salary goes to housing?
Basically, I think what that means is people are sharing apartments in order to afford to live in Utah. Madison Hagen is she's a media relations specialist for business.org. Good morning, Madison.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. So I think we're doing good. It doesn't sound like we're doing too well, though, as a state when it comes to salary and housing, according to the business.org survey we're talking about. It's the end of the show. I'm starving, so I'm going to have a hard time getting these words out of my mouth, Madison.
You're fine.
That survey just sounds like we're way behind the times when it comes to salaries.
It does. It does. So we're ranked 25 out of 51. We looked at the 50 states plus the District of Columbia. That salary is coming in just below $37,000. But it's also going to change depending on where you're living in Salt Lake. So we pulled stats for Provo, Ogden, and Salt Lake City. Right now it's looking like living in Ogden, you're going to have about $36,000 in wages a year, but your rent's only going to be right at that $800 mark. So you're only going to work about 46 hours a week to order to pay your rent. But in Provo, you're going to be paying about $1,000 in rent. So you're going to be making less money than you would in Ogden at $34,000 and still have to work about 60 hours just to afford your rent.
How much of our salary and how much of our really monthly income should we set aside for housing?
I believe rule of thumb is about a week's paycheck. So if we were on par for Salt Lake to be ranking where, you know, what your median wages is putting you right at 40 hours in order to afford that, then that usually fits in within Americans' budget. But we're just a little bit above that. So we've got to be working right around, you know, that 57-hour mark in order to live across the Wasatch Front. And so it's just, we're a little up there. We've definitely got to be looking into having roommates or readjusting our finances in order to afford our lifestyle.
Madison Hagen is with business.org. They did a big survey just released this morning. When it dropped into my inbox first thing this morning, Madison, I thought we really have to talk about this because I know so many of my friends, you know, my family really feel as though Utah is becoming more and more unaffordable. What's the solution to this? Because it looks like maybe moving to Wyoming, which came out, I think, number one on your survey for affordability and salary, is their only option.
Yeah, I mean, I think for solutions, yeah, you can look at moving somewhere else. You can look at readjusting your finances, readjusting how you're investing your money, how you want to pay for your rent. Are you wanting to own a home, which can sometimes be cheaper? Are you wanting to have roommates? And then also readjusting what field of work is going to be best for you in Utah in order to make enough money to afford your rent. I think it's also interesting to look at, you know, we have our surrounding states. Nevada's ranked number 26. Idaho is up there ranking right around 20. And we have a lot of people from California moving in. And I believe this is part of the reason why some of our costs are going up. You know, California's ranked 50 out of 51 states. They've got to work about 100 hours in order to afford their rent. So we have a lot of people moving into Utah, seeing it as, you know, a really nice place to be. You can have cheaper rent compared to other states. And so it's driving up some of our costs here. And so we just have to be aware of what our next move is going to be, where we're willing to cut in our budget and in our finances, and if we're willing to make any changes in order to go somewhere like Idaho or Wyoming, which is ranked number one, in order to have our money take us a little further.
Madison, it does sound, as you explain this, that we're moving more and more to a two-income household, whether that's a significant other or whether it's a roommate. But I just wonder, is it feasible to think that, you know what, you should be able to do this all by yourself on your salary at 40 hours?
I think it's feasible if you have yourself in a working situation where you are making above that median wage. I think it's still doable if you are at that median wage, but it is going to be pretty tight. I mean, having 57 hours of your work month going directly towards just affording where you live is a lot. And then you have to add in all of your other expenses. So I think it's doable, yes, but I also think that people have to evaluate what type of living standard they want to have, what their lifestyle incurs, and how much money they're going to be spending on other things to do that aren't just their bills. People want to go out and have fun, enjoy downtown Salt Lake. They want to be able to have the ability to travel. And so having a roommate or having a two-income household is always going to help with those things.
Madison Hagen with business.org, thank you so much for jumping on the line with us live here on the Dave and Dujanovic Show. Appreciate her insight.
Yeah, Debbie, I was really intrigued how she phrased it. It depends on what living standard you're looking for. And I wonder, many times we all have such different interests, different passions, the way we like to spend our time. For example, you love hiking and being in the outdoors. You do it all the time. It boggles my mind how often you come back and you're like, oh, I went on a great hike. Like, I haven't been on a hike in 15 years voluntarily. but you're like, oh, my third hike this week, it was just great. Why do you even have a house? Like, you should have basically
a tent?
Yes. Yes. Why not?
What do you want me to do, live in a tiny home in the woods?
I do wonder if you have you ever considered, honestly, because you look at your lifestyle, how much house do you need?
I only have 1,900 square feet, and I say only, it's just shaking my head because I feel sometimes that's too much.
Yes.
It's four bedrooms, two and a half, well, 2 3/4 bath. Yeah, I don't need that much. But my daughter needs a place to live, so she lives with me.
No, she's
well.
Listen, she's out of here in 2 seconds.
I compared to what the housing prices are now, I hardly paid anything for my home.
Right.
I lucked out. I was just born in the right year.
If you were to do it again,
today.
What would you do if you didn't have your home right now? Say you were moving in from some out-of-state place, the way you live, how much do you think you'd need? Like, do you think a one-bedroom house would be enough?
I think I'd always want a bedroom and a half. And I say a half because I had a condo many, many years ago that had a half bedroom. It was perfect because when people come to stay, they only stay for a few days and then they want to get out.
Yeah, you want to make it welcoming but not inviting.
I need at least a little space to put one of the kids when they came home to visit mom.
Yeah.
And that's it. And for my mom when she comes to visit.
Yeah.
And that's it. And
but
she
feel free
for
not
a
to
week.
Stay too long.
That's
yeah,
right.
That's
I think what I'd do right now if I was moving in, I'd buy a condo. I'd be looking in Davis County. I'd be looking in Utah County. I think Tooele County is just a little too far for me to go, especially in snowstorms at 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Ogden is the best. Ogden's the best. That's what
Weber County, here I come.
That's what business.org says. Best bang for the buck. Hey, thank you so much. Great week. Holy cow, we had so much to talk about. We appreciate you joining in on the conversation. We're done for the week. As always, we leave friends.
Live breaking news now on the mobile app for KSL News Radio. Listen at home or anywhere you go. Brought to you by Any Hour Services. KSL FM Midvale. KSL Salt Lake City. KSL News Radio. This is Utah's news station.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.